Hearts to you, Dove. Good morning, dances, everybody. Well, welcome to the gathering. It's 9:15 Sunday morning, the 17th. This was originally a gathering Dove was scheduled to, and I was asked to fill in because Dove is still recovering from his surgery and his chemo. So I'm very glad to be here and bring us all into the service. Good morning, Karen. So we're going to play a little peaceful music, and we can introduce each other and say hello.
Jay, you dropped the mic. I'm just coming in to let you know that. Thanks. Jay, can you hear me at all? Can you type in the room at all? Let us know.
Thank you.
beginning to recognize and embrace the universal wisdom regardless of your form and gender. We're also dedicated to recognizing the ways we deny universal wisdom by adopting personal. We want to recognize these limitations so we can free ourselves from them and open to the continuous flow. And with that, we have five core values that we're going to right now. Just that's the statement of our purpose and really what we are as a person. We've got a few announcements here coming up. You can follow along with the program guide to next year, coming up between March 8th and 17th of 2014, is a week-long contemplative retreat led by Regina that's going to be in Costa Rica. This should be a really wonderful retreat. I'm actually planning to attend personally. So, welcome anybody and all. It's a pretty affordable cost of $1,500, which is actually not a whole lot for a full week-long retreat. And then also coming up in Colorado, there is a retreat. This is the Choose Again retreat. That is going to be in May, shortly thereafter, in Colorado, with Dietrich and Claudette Thomas. And this is going to be at the facility that we had. This is the Choose Again retreat. It's a facility we stayed at. It's the name of the place is in, it's actually listed here in the link. And it's going to be, we stayed there for our it's a gathering for the board here. I forget the name of the place, but it's there on the website too. Events website. So let's start off with a opening song. I'm going to play the song again here. This is a song, a really wonderful song by a movie called Almost. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Moby, Almost Home. And isn't it true indeed, we are almost home? We are almost home. Well, I did get it figured out, Lynn. Sorry about that. I just guess it could be a backup in case it doesn't work, but did get it figured out. So the invocation. This is the part of the service where I will lead in a prayer to bring in the Holy Spirit into our minds. So let's be centered and go within as I lead the invocation. I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. I know that you will be released unless I want to use you to imprison myself. In the name of my freedom, I choose your release, because I recognize that we will be released together. Amen. And isn't it true that we are released together, never apart, never separate. We can have no enemies, no long-standing grudges, and no hatred in our heart to enter into the kingdom of heaven, which is right here, right now. And in that, we must accept our greatness and let go of the littleness. Which leads us to the part of the service where we're going to be doing the inspirational reading by the minister. And we have Teddy Poppy here to do that. That is chapter 15, section 3. Teddy might still be asleep. I hope not. Are you there, Teddy? In the room? Yo, yo, yo. Teddy, take it away. Chapter 15, Course in Miracles, Section 3. You can probably read about the first five paragraphs. Got about 5 or 6 minutes. Take it away.
I'm on. Okay.
Good morning, everybody. This is both of us. Do you want to read?
No, you read.
Okay, I'm going to read. So this is, I'm going to read it from the Sparkly. It's chapter 15. The section is called Littleness versus Magnitude. Here we go. Be not content with littleness, but be sure you understand what littleness is and why you can never be content with it. Littleness is the offering you gave yourself. You offered this in place of magnitude, and you accepted it. Everything in this world is little because it is a world made out of littleness, in the strange belief that littleness can content you. When you strive for anything in this world with the belief that it will bring you peace, you are belittling yourself and blinding yourself to glory. Littleness and glory are the choices open to your striving and your vigilance. You will always choose one at the expense of the other. Yet what you do not realize each time you choose is that your choice is your evaluation of yourself. Choose littleness and you will not have peace, for you will have judged yourself unworthy of it. And whatever you offer as a substitute is much too poor a gift to satisfy you. It is essential that you accept the fact, and accept it gladly, that there is no form of littleness that can ever content you. You are free to try as many as you wish, but all you will be doing is delay your homecoming, for you will be content only in the magnitude which is your home. There is a deep responsibility. There's a deep responsibility you owe yourself, and one which you must learn to remember all the time. The lesson will seem hard at first, but you will learn to love it when you realize that it's true and constitutes a tribute to your power. You, who have sought and found littleness, remember this. Every decision which you make stems from what you think you are and represents the value that you put upon yourself. Believe the little can content you, and by limiting yourself, you will not be satisfied. For your function is not little, and it is only by finding your function and fulfilling it that you can escape from littleness. There is no doubt about what your function is, for the Holy Spirit knows what it is. There is no doubt about its magnitude, for it reaches you through Him from magnitude. You do not have to strive for it, because you have it. All your striving must be directed against littleness, for it does require vigilance to protect your magnitude in this world. To hold your magnitude in perfect awareness is to hold in a world of littleness is a task that the little cannot undertake. Yet, it is asked of you in tribute to your magnitude and not your littleness, nor is it asked of you alone. The power of God will support every effort you make on behalf of His dear Son. Search for the little, and you deny yourself His power. God is not willing that you be content with less than everything, for He is not content without His Son. And His Son cannot be content with less than His Father has given Him. We asked you once before, would you be hostage to the ego or host to God? Let this question be asked you by the Holy Spirit in you every time you make a decision. Every decision you make does answer this and invites sorrow or joy. I want to read this last paragraph because I think it's important here. But that one, what we just read is let this question be asked by the Holy Spirit in you every time you make a decision. For every decision you make does answer this and invite sorrow or joy accordingly. When God gave himself to you in your creation, he established you as his host to him forever. He has not left you, and you have not left him. All your attempts to deny his magnitude and make his son hostage to the ego cannot make little whom God has joined with him. Every decision you make is for heaven or for hell, and will bring you awareness of what you decided for. The Holy Spirit can hold your magnitude clean of all littleness, clearly and in perfect safety in your minds, untouched by every little gift the world of littleness would offer you. But for this, you cannot side against him in what he wills for you. So thank you for that, and I'm going to return the mic to Jay.
Thank you very much, Teddy. And thank you, Melissa, too. You know, it's true that we can really choose one or the other. You know, what is it to be little? What is it to have magnitude? Is that really a decision we can make? Is it really up to us to determine if we have worth or value or not? You know, it's interesting because the other day, what I did was looked up at the request of a certain member here, all of the references to the Great Race in the Course in Miracles. And every time I look at the sections in the Course in Miracles on the Great Race, I have a sense of magnitude when I connect with the thought that there is a ray of light that connects me to God that was never separated. That if I only but see it, I can be filled with that magnitude and that love and that immense presence. Well, it's interesting because last night, the night before my first sermon, if you could call it that, gathering that I'm leading here on Online Sanctuary, I had a dream of great rays last night. And I also have been moving through a thought, a very intense thought of seeing this world as a place where there is death, you could say. I think what Lynn read was kind of appropriate because these images that were in Revelations that she was reading were about the world falling apart. And when you come to the point of realizing that everything here is truly an illusion, there really is no point to do anything that's other than spirit-guided, truly. And I've been thinking a lot about, and just letting it move through me, what does it mean? If all that waits for me here is illness and death, why am I here? What's the point? I'm going to just let go of everything. I have no motivation to try to fix this, or I just want to go into trust. I want to face those blocks that I have insisted on creating myself in littleness. And so my dream, I'll read you, it's kind of summarized part of the dream. Basically, the world was going to be occupied by an alien power. The whole world. And I, in the dream, had no fear of this, actually. There was these craft people could fly around in, and one of them I took, and I went outside, which is something you're supposed to do. Because one of the things that was happening as a result of this massive world-changing event was that holes in the sky were opened up and there's no atmosphere and the brilliant light of the sun could come right on down to the earth. And so as I was flying around in this cool little floating ship, which I kind of be nice to have one of those in the dream life here, there would be sections maybe twice the size of a football field with the most amazing, brilliant rays coming down to the earth. And I had the awareness that we're being told that if you go into those rays and you walk outside, or like you get exposed to those rays, you will die. And the thought I had when that thought entered my mind in the dream was, that's a bunch of hogwash. I'm not going to die. I don't believe that. So I took my ship and I flew through. I like had the courage to face this thought that I was going to die and go into this area where these beautiful rays were emanating down from the clouds into the earth. And it felt really warm. And I was like, wait a minute, I'm not dying here. I'm not dying from these rays. But it was actually a beautiful sight. And later in the dream, I'm not sure if these were the invading alien army or who they were, but they were animated skeletons with like cheesy, low-budget blue light coming out of their eyes, like something you would see in like Jason of the Argonauts from the late 70s. And I'm not sure if they, but I know they represented death. The thoughts of death that I was thinking about, these animated skeletons. And in the dream, there was some other, either, I think I did at one point, and other forces that were going to get rid of these guys, that were going to kill death, basically, destroy them. And death, all these little skeleton guys with the blue lights out of their eyes, all of a sudden got alerted that there was something there that could wipe them out, make them be sort of, you know, evaporate. And so they started flying through the air to try to go after them with their little blue-seeking eyes. It was, I think, supposed to be scary, but I was kind of comical. I was kind of laughing how silly it was. You know, it's like this, it's a very much Grateful Dead sort of thing. And I thought, wait a minute, this dream is talking to me about... This is death. These are the great rays. This is exactly what I've been thinking about moving through in this recent time. You know, when I asked the Holy Spirit to open to a part in the Course in Miracles that I could ask Teddy to read that would be teaching me and be appropriate to like what should be read today in the gathering. And I opened to chapter 15, section 3, Littleness versus Magnitude. And also, that unnamed member who asked me to read the Great Rays sections in the Course, combined with this dream, shows me a clear picture, a clear inspirational kind of message that says, my life and my existence is great and it has magnitude. And it has awesomeness. And that unnamed member is Melissa Yodes. Melissa Yodes. And the vigilance that's talked about in this section comes up relative to some other things that were discussed here in the room recently. And that was also last night, actually. Whereas when you have any sort of external draw to something outside of you that you think is going to make you happy, we were talking about the sexual drive. We were talking also about achievement, anything to look good, to be recognized, to sound intelligent, whatever it is that you're seeking outside of yourself. When you have this desire that comes up, this urge, and you want to satisfy it, you want to go do the thing that you think is going to make you happy that's outside of you, you're actually choosing littleness, and you're completely devaluing yourself down to, like, the worth of 1 cent. Because this vigilance that's talked about in this book, the way you can practice it is when you have this urge, this desire that comes up, that, you know, you want to go do this thing, whatever it is, that's from some leading you to some external satisfaction in some kind of way. The idea is, well, you can repress it. Oh, that's not spiritual. I shouldn't think that or want to do that. I'm not going to do that. That's repression or denial, and that will lead to depression. Or you can engage in that thing that you think will make you happy, that is external, that you think is going to give you the fulfillment and the magnitude and the satisfaction you want. And if you engage in it and you fulfill the desire, you're actually going to be guilty. So on the one hand, you have depression if you suppress it, and on the other hand, if you go ahead and act on it, you're going to just be guilty later. So neither of those choices actually are the answer for what will bring you the happiness. And the image in my mind is just this middle path that's between those two. Between those two. There's an entire world. And to me, I see on the left the repression and the denial, which is leading to depression, and on the right, acting on it, which leads to guilt and shame. In the middle, there's these giant rays of light coming down from the clouds to the earth. Giant rays of light that fill my heart and my soul with joy and with peace and with amazing. And as that happens, my old world is destroyed. As I move into that middle path, that middle road, death is killed. I don't either repress or express. I stay in the middle, and spirit through me expresses. What's the right thing to do? That's the only right thing to do, is to let spirit come through me. And as Benny Silverman was talking about the other day, it's not that spirit might not guide you to go save the whales or rally at a political cause or grow a certain plant for medicinal healing purposes if you feel drawn to. A certain unnamed member in the group also feels called to do this. You know, and it's like, spirit is guiding her to do that. Spirit is guiding us to do whatever it is we do, and it's all perfect. It's all perfect. And that middle path between either suppression, which is littleness and death, or expression of it, which leads to the guilt and shame, which is also death. Let death be destroyed. Let those little cheesy 1970s Argonaut skeletons just be evaporated, because these great rays are coming through the clouds. Amazing, brilliant, bright, warm, loving rays of light. I wish you guys could have just been in that dream with me, because it was just the most wonderful thing. Those rays. It's just interesting how the Holy Spirit times everything and how easy it can be. Because I was actually starting to worry about what I should ask Teddy to read. And I thought, this is stupid. Just ask the Holy Spirit. I don't need to think about this. This is all perfectly planned. So as I walk down my path, one leg after the other, in front of me is these great rays shining down onto me. And I'm wearing a white garment. And it's a beautiful green pasture. And everything behind me is disappearing. There is nothing behind me. I'm only walking forward in the present moment. And the left, the denial, the depression and suppression on the left, that disappears too. And the past and the future, where I feel like acting on these things and getting this fulfillment is going to bring me the happiness in the future, that's also dying out too. That's disappearing. And all that's left, all I can see, is a bunch of other people around me, really happy, laughing, being connected with each other, knowing that all the laughter we have takes nothing away from anyone else, and the joy I feel takes nothing away from me or anyone, and that everything I do only adds to. And that I have let my inspiration guide me. I'm in that permanent pause for inspiration. That light, the beautiful rays of light just coming down that seem to know everything and bring that peace, that truth, that love. That really is where my home is. That's what I want to see. And the vigilance that I practice to protect my magnitude is my willingness to listen only to that one voice. And that is where even Jesus talked about how great willingness and vigilance is required to listen to only that one voice. So you're not either suppressing or expressing those things that come up. Whatever drives, urges, you listen to the Spirit. And what I do, what I practice, is when anything comes up like that, I just sort of stay with it. I observe it. I go, wow, I'm really wanting to go do this right now. I'm really wanting to make this happen because I think this will make me happy. Wow. That's interesting. And just stay with it. Don't act on it. Don't suppress it. Just simply feel it. That middle path that is that beautiful path with the flowers and the gardens and the light shining down through me right in the middle of on my left, suppression and depression, or on my right, expression and guilt. Neither of those. Right between those two. And I just keep walking. And it's like those little skeletons are trying to claw at me, and with their little blue light coming out of their eyes, they're trying to pull me off the path. They're trying to distract me from into one of these two extremes. And I don't listen to them. I practice vigilance. I am not little. I don't want to die. I don't want to be in this world of death. I want to live. You know, back from the Bible, Jesus talks about you don't leave this world through death. Just because your body dies does not mean you leave this world. You only leave this world through life. And that has to be lived right now. I have to live that life right now. So as I face my own demons, as we all face our own demons, our little death skeletons in our closets of, you know, the things that we think we want and have to have and want to be and all the things we think we... Let it just go. Just like Moby's song said, let it go, we're almost home. And it is, and Melissa wrote on the board, it's distractingly beautiful. It is distractingly beautiful. But remember that it's just a skeleton dressed up with makeup and a hat stuck in a corner. That's all it is. It's dressed, it's death dressed up as apparently beautiful looking and sounding stuff. So the evaluation that I have of myself, as this section is talking about, is either littleness, which is suppression or expression of my quote-unquote desires, or I can let the desire of the Holy Spirit move through me. And maybe the Holy Spirit will guide me to express a desire in a certain way. But if it's through the Holy Spirit, then what will come out of it is actually a healing result. We do not know and cannot have the future knowledge of what's going to happen because we are in time. And that time is the very thing that's death. Just like the Dali painting with the little wilted clocks that are put over the tree and the animal. Everything has a clock on it. Everything is temporary here. Why hold on? The dripping clocks, that's right. And so I just am impressed with this dream I had last night. This was the Holy Spirit. I'm so thankful because this dream was just perfect and it gave me a lot of material for this talk today. And let's just all come together here. We got to join together here. Just like this prayer that's actually in the very same chapter, the Holy Instant of the Course in Miracles. I give you to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. I give you, brother, to the Holy Spirit as part of myself. I know that you will be released unless I want you to use you to imprison myself. And that means if I'm judging you, you're not good enough in my eyes. How could you not be good enough in my eyes? You are beautiful and perfect and absolutely wonderful. You're not screwed up and messed up. You're perfect, exactly as you are right now. In the name of freedom, I choose your release. You are free, brother, because I recognize that we will be released together. I can't do nothing without you. I am dependent on you wholly and totally. You are me. I am you. We are inseparable. We are bound. If the ego is afraid of being a prisoner of love, a prisoner of God, then sign me up. Put me in jail with God. I'm perfectly okay with that. a prisoner of love, a prisoner bound to you for all eternity. I am bound to you for all eternity because you are me. And I would never want to be separate, nor ever could be separate from you. You can kill me, do whatever you want to do. I'm bound to you forever because I'm you. And I think that's really the same point. That's like, you know, it's like the thought that Jesus got to. It's like, you can't really hurt me. There's nothing you can do to hurt. We are, it's all silliness. It's all just skeletons with blue light coming out of their eyes, dressed up in the corner with a hat on and a beer in their hand, like Weekend at Bernie's. And so, you know, it's really just, it's not what it seems to be. And so I choose that path, that light that's between the two extremes, that has the light coming down and through me and in me, the light of peace. So on that, I ask you to join me in a meditation and contemplation of life, of joy, of peace that is beyond death. And just feel and image these great rays coming into you and through you and from you, and just sit with that and image that. And our admin for the service, Barbara DeWater, she will be posting the donation link. I invite you to donate to Awakening Together. Please do. The organization is run off of your donations. We do not have any large corporate sponsors like Coca-Cola or Nike or anything like that. You guys are our sponsors. So please donate. And I am going to play a beautiful meditative song by an album called Meditation Zen.
Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining us this morning. This is a time of open contemplation. Now we're, after that beautiful music of the birds and the instrumentals and the millions of dollars that you've donated to Awakening Together, we can hear your wonderful comments and insights and thoughts. Yes, we've had the birds. We've had the birds and the bees here this morning, haven't we? So I would love to hear if anybody would like to raise their hand as open sharing. I will call on you and you can share your thoughts. Any insights, inspirations that you received or that you would like to share. We've got a little while now for that. So who would like to be first? Anonymous beekeeper, would you like to share? I don't think I've heard you speak before. We'd love to hear your insights. Or Mel, if you would like to share any thoughts. Yeah, I enjoyed the song too, Dances. Yeah, let the great rays penetrate into that grumpy exterior and just let it all go. Let it all go. Or not, as the case may be. I think I'm going to play another song and we can chat amongst ourselves. I'm going to replay the Moby Almost Home.
Yeah. The treasure found.
All right, everybody. Thank you for joining in. I wanted to express my gratitude for all of you being here. And glad you all joined. We had a great group of people. A lot of fun, lively discussion about peanuts and hot glue guns and things like that. Dove, love you too, brother. Yeah, I know. I'm just feeding your ego, Teddy. I'm just in my own personal enjoyment. I probably should stop. So, join us again next week. We have our very own Phil Frisk, one of the three ordained ministers here in Awakening Together, himself, Regina Dawn Akers, and our very own Dove Fishman. So he will be up next week, and he will pick his reader and his admin soon, and as soon as he does, I will post that on the website. So I'm going to finish up today's service with a closing song. It's a wonderful song also by Moby called Everything That Rises. And after that, I invite you to stay for our hour of fellowship and virtual coffee and snack bar. You can all stay and chat and join in. So here we are with Moby, Everything That Rises.